One of the front wheels on the supermarket shopping cart squeaked and had a pronounced tendency to pull to the left. Mr. Vandermeer had found the metal cart on a grassed-in traffic island near the hospital. It was, he had realized on seeing it, just the right size for moving a body. He could have carried the body, of course, but then it could have bled on him or dripped other fluids. And he only had the one suit. So he pushed the shopping cart with the body of the Marquis de Carabas in it through the storm drain, and it went squee, squee, and pulled to the left. He wished that Mr. Croup would push the shopping cart for a change. But Mr. Croup was talking.
"You know, Mr. Vandermeer," he was saying, "I am currently too overjoyed, too delighted, not to mention too utterly and illimitably ecstatic to grouse, gripe, or grumble, having finally been permitted to do what we do best."
Mr. Vandermeer negotiated a particularly awkward corner. "Kill someone, you mean?" he asked. Mr. Croup beamed.
"Kill someone, I mean, indeed, Mr. Vandermeer, brave soul, glittering noble fellow. However, by now, you must have sensed a lurking but skulking beneath my happy, blithe and chipper exterior, a minuscule vexation, like the teeniest lump of raw liver sticking to the inside of my boot. You must, I have no doubt, be saying to yourself, all is not well in Mr. Croup's breast. I shall induce him to unburden himself to me."
Mr. Vandermeer pondered this while he forced open the round iron door between the storm drain and the sewer and clambered through. Then he manhandled the wire cart with the Marquis de Carabas's body in it through the doorway. And then, more or less certain that he had been thinking nothing of the sort, he said, "No." Mr. Croup ignored this and continued.
"And were I then, in response to your pleadings, to divulge to you what vexes me, I would confess that my soul is irked by the necessity to hide our light under a bushel. We should be hanging the former Marquis's sad remains from the highest gibbet in London below, not tossing it away like a used..."
He paused, searching for the exact simile. "Rat," suggested Mr. Vandermeer. "Budgerigar," "spleen," "squee, squee," went the wheels of the shopping cart. Mr. Croup did not like any of them.
"Ah, well," he said.
In front of them was a deep channel of brown water. Drifting on the water's surface were off-white suds of foam, used condoms, and occasional fragments of toilet paper. Mr. Vandermeer stopped the shopping cart. Mr. Croup leaned down and picked up the Marquis's head by the hair and hissed into its dead ear.
"The sooner this business is over and done with, the happier I'll be. There's other times and other places that will properly appreciate two pair of dab hands with the garrotting wire and the boning knife."
And then he stood up.
"Good night, good Marquis. Don't forget to write."
Mr. Vandermeer tipped over the cart, and the Marquis's corpse tumbled out and splashed into the brown water below them. And then, because he had come to dislike it intensely, Mr. Vandermeer pushed the shopping cart into the sewer as well and watched the current carry it away. Then Mr. Croup held his lamp up high, and he stared up at the place in which they stood.
"It is saddening to reflect," said Mr. Croup, "that there are folk walking the streets above who will never know the beauty of these sewers, Mr. Vandermeer, these red brick cathedrals beneath their feet."
"Craftsmanship," agreed Mr. Vandermeer. They turned their backs on the brown water and made their way back into the tunnels.
"With cities as with people, Mr. Vandermeer,"
said Mr. Croup, fastidiously. "The condition of the bowels is all important."